things are said before I preach often confirm or validate my message. I don't want to say if something isn't said, therefore it doesn't mean the message is from God and forget it. But did you notice, Brother Jim, when he says the one who has the most influence on us is our mother? I want to preach on entitled this morning, Unconscious Influence. St. John chapter 20, a story that I find quite heartwarming, but a little bit of humor also. Beginning at verse 1, may we know that the writer is John the Apostle, who's known for the one that laid his head on the bosom of Christ. We're going to read that he doesn't refer to himself as John, but that disciple whom Jesus loved, of which he often does. For some reason, he wants us to know that he can run faster than Peter. He wants to let us know that twice. Why do you think he does that? I think John, knowing Peter, if you know the Gospels, you know Peter always had to be first. He's always jumping out ahead of everybody. And it's just my gift of suspicion that John's a little bit tired of him always being first, always having to win. You ever meet anybody like that? They always have to be right. They always have to win. They always have to be on top. They have to just, well, okay. Let's pick up at verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth, cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth. He wants us to know that Peter took off running first. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple. How many know who that other disciple is? That one that Jesus loved. Oh, you have such humility, John. And came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together. Peter took off first. John catches up with him, or they run together. And the other disciple, who knows who that other disciple is, whom Jesus loved, John, did outrun Peter. How many know that's a very important theology to understand? But he did outrun Peter. And he came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, by the way, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and he believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Brother Joe, would you ask God's blessings on the preaching of the word this morning, please? I want to entitle this Unconscious Influence. One of the sacred truths that I believe is taught in Scripture is that man is continually, or man and woman, is continually consciously or unconsciously affecting one another. Whether you're aware of it or not, you have an effect and an influence on people around you. And when you take a good look at this story, little does Peter think, as he takes off first, he comes up to where John has passed him. He's arrived at the sepulcher, but John doesn't go in. He, for whatever reason, he stays back. He peers in looking, and here comes Peter, Simon Peter. Twice we're aware that John did outrun Peter. But here, Peter arrives where John doesn't go in. Maybe there is awe in his heart. He's looking in. But Peter arrives and he doesn't even hesitate. He's what he is. That's just him. And John is being John. And Simon Peter is being Simon Peter. Simon Peter, he doesn't hesitate like John because that's John. But Peter is Simon Peter. And he immediately goes right in. Doesn't hesitate, doesn't stop, just goes right in. And it was because Peter went in that John now, being influenced by Peter, goes in also. Do we realize that we are unconsciously affecting others to where they go and perhaps would not have gone, but we affect one another? When I was a boy growing up, my parents knew me, knew my nature. And they knew some boys on another street who were a little bit wilder than me. And they were very hesitant about me hanging around them too much because of the influence they would have upon me. How many understand what I'm talking about? Peter is being himself. John is being himself, but we do affect one another. And Peter goes right in, and John goes in after Peter. I believe both of them are unconscious of the influence exerted or received. We see when we look at this story and meditate upon it, two sorts of influences are continually happening. There's the kind of influence that we do on purpose. We are trying to let our light shine. We are on purpose trying to influence people that they, as Jesus said, let your light shine that they may see your good works. So there's when I witness to people or I have a motive. I'm wanting to influence them to come to Christ. He that winneth souls is wise. So I'm wanting to influence. I'm wanting to influence you this morning. I have a goal in mind. I'm preaching the gospel, but I wanted to influence you to where we become more Christ-like. So there's things that I do on purpose, and I'm aware. But then there is the influence I have on you that I'm not aware of, that I'm not conscious of, that is like this story. It may be a small truth, but it speaks volumes to a much larger truth. The truth is, what we do is often a result of who we are. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. When he said to Jacob, tell me your name. Who are you? Because who you are often determines what you do in the long term. And he said, my name is Jacob. I'm a cheat. I'm a swindler. That's what it means. But in that story, the voice from the Lord said, thou shalt no longer be called Jacob. I'm going to change you. Your name's going to be Israel. When you come to Christ, there's a change that takes place in you. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Now that change may not be as evident to a child who comes to the Lord early in life. But to someone who has lived without Christ and then comes to Christ, depending on a lot of things, will determine how much change there is. But be rest assured, God is in the business of changing us. To change, we're changed from glory to glory, and all of that change is to be conformed to the image of Christ. And it is when we're changed to Christ and His nature lives in us that will largely affect what we do. So that means that I may be conscious of wanting to do the right thing, but what about times where I'm not conscious? How do I know the right thing will come forth when I'm being watched and I don't know I'm being watched? That is what is called an unconscious influence. And how can I help that aspect of my life? It's I need more of Him and less of me. And when He is in me, the hope of glory, then I am more at peace that when you see me, when I don't know you're watching me, what will come forth out of me is His life, because I have a conscience influence on you and I also have an unconscious influence on you. You're here because somebody influenced you. It may be many. And we're having Mother's Day. And I agree with Brother Jim. Perhaps the one who had the most influence upon you is your mother. And I know that my mother had a very big influence in my life. And let me say that my mother did her best to bring her children to come to know Christ. My mother came to the Lord early in her marriage. And now she's aware that there's a God and there's an eternity and there's a heaven and a hell, and she believed it. But now mother has two children, and she realizes she wants those children to go to heaven. I think any true child of God wants their loved ones to go to heaven. She's aware that she has a tremendous responsibility. The Scripture places it on us, whether we take up the responsibility or not, it is there, and it is train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. My mother believed that. And she knew she needed all the help in the world because her husband, my father, was not a Christian. And she was aware that there would be an influence coming from him. And she prayed that her influence would be greater than his influence. She knew that we wouldn't come to God because of the world. The world isn't going to influence. She was even sensing then, you can't depend upon the schools, and so much more today than then, because schools aren't going to influence your children to come to have a personal, fired up walk with God. She knew that TV was not going to influence us to come to God. It's a secular, and it's a whole lot worse today than then, in the black and white day, with one channel. When Ozzie and Harriet, you never saw them go into the bedroom, and if they did, you saw two beds. But it's a far cry from that today. And the influence upon children is overwhelming. And so my mother was aware of the influence that she prayed that she had upon our lives, knowing of all the opposition that we're up against much. But if God be for you, who can be against you? And so I remember as a child, my mother playing when she would be in the kitchen. I remember even now her having a radio station where I could hear. I'd be in the living room, or just as a child, maybe 4, 5, or 6, when I can remember the radio station and these words, doot, doot. Hello out there, this is a good shipmate Bob. Ding, 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 ding. And she had it attuned to a Christian radio station, the good shipmate Bob. And I, at that age, felt the anointing of God coming from that station. My mother did what she could to influence her children. She would take us to Sunday school. She would take us to church. In spite of nothing else influencing us. But as I got older, the other opposing influences begin to weigh in on me and begin to pull me to the world. And I began to not want to go to church. I began to, that influence pulled me. And I remember at times arguing with mother why I didn't want to go to church, why I didn't want to go to Sunday school. And I remember one day, after I had a talk with her and let her know that I didn't plan on going, in our house there was the bedroom that I remember them adding on, and it was a sliding door, a pocket door. And after she heard me let her know that I didn't want to go and didn't plan on going, and Dad doesn't go and I don't have to go, she didn't say anything. She turned and she went into her bedroom. I went, I don't remember what, but I remember coming back into the kitchen. She did not know I had come back into the kitchen where I could, if I wanted to, peek through the sliding door and observe my mother. I remember coming around and I thought, I wonder how my mother's handling what I just told her. I came to peek in, and I saw my mother kneeling down, weeping. I didn't exactly hear what she said, but I knew what she was saying. And she was asking God to help her. It broke my heart. She had, because of that unconscious influence, it affected me more than the conscious influence. Because there's something about your unconscious influence that often has more weight to it than your conscious influence. Often when you consciously, people may be thinking, well, you're just doing that, and they can read into motives that may be there, maybe not there. But when they see you and know that nobody's watching, and they think that you don't think, and the real you is coming out, that has greater weight in many cases than the conscious influence. Pastor, how can I? We hear most of sermons are about how I can consciously influence people. And they're right and they're biblical. But what do I do, Pastor, on those times when I'm being watched and I don't know I'm being watched? What can I do? That brings us to, you'll do what you are. And so what you are is more important than what you do. That's why on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, blessed are they, and he speaks of your nature. Blessed are the poor in spirit, because out of what you are and what you have will cause you to do what you do. Blessed are they that, and he dealt with who you are. Well, how can I become that person? That tells us that God's in the changing business. He's continually changing you. I need God to change me. And when he changes me from glory to glory, then I'm not so concerned about those times when I'm being watched. How many know that we watch people when they don't think we're watching them? And boy, that happens a lot. Did you know I saw so-and-so, so-and-so? Well, did you know that you were watched while you were being watched? And on it could go. I didn't know this at the time, but when I was a youth pastor in Garden Valley Christian Assembly, I'm 21 or 2, I got into a good habit. I would go up, it was my prayer time, but late at night, and where I thought I went was so far out in the country, I didn't think anybody knew I went, or let alone was aware. But up when I would crawl or climb that mountain behind this little parsonage, 9 miles, it was connected to the church out in the country. Oh, there were houses half a mile away. What I didn't know was there was another house just down over the hill. I didn't know they were there. And I felt I had enough privacy, I could let it all out. When Jesus said, go to your closet, it may be you may be saying things there you don't want nobody to hear. But when I'd get up in that place in the hill and I just, folks, my wife can tell you, if I don't have anything that I'm concerned about, I just let it all out. And I'm just a praying and going away. And I'm praying for the lost that they be found. And I'm praying that people that are hell bound will be saved. And I don't have a clue anybody's listening or watching. I pray for my dad. I hold nothing back. I just pound away. Oh God, you've got to save my father. You must save my father. I can't stand the fact and the reality that he may die and go to hell. And I would let it out. As James says, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'm not claiming the righteousness, but I am, well, I am by faith, but I am claiming the fervency part. What I did not know is there was, and sometimes I wouldn't wait till 12, I'd do it at 10. What I did not know was this family, this house that was just around the corner that I didn't know was there. I heard later they used to come out on the porch to wait to see if that preacher would go pray again. And they'd sit there and listen and say, yeah, he's going tonight. No, he didn't get very wound up tonight, but boy, you should have heard him last night. This was told me years later. And I found out, one of them said, do you know that it caused us to come to the Lord because of your prayers? And we knew you didn't know, but boy, it used to be better than watching Bonanza. And it is better than this. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And I'm talking about an influence. And Mother, what I'm letting you know, and you already know, is you have a great influence upon your children, both consciously and unconsciously. I'm looking at Sharon, and I know that her mother had a huge influence upon her. And I know Sharon. Not much gets by without Sharon knowing it. And Sharon knew her mother. And she watched her when she knew she was being watched, and she watched her when she knew she wasn't being watched. And I can guarantee you that unconscious influence carries greater weight. And Sharon knew that her mother was true, clean to the bone. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You see, when we're influencing, and we should. One time, people came to Jesus, and they were trying to act as though they were really in tight with the Lord. And Jesus said this, "Why draw nigh unto me with your mouths, but your heart is far from me?" You see, the book of St. John says Jesus knew what was in man. He knew the heart. He knew that what they were doing outwardly was not really proof of what was in the heart. He knows that. We don't. But I can say that when you are being watched and you don't know you're being watched and you have no reason, often the real you comes out. And that unreal you is being seen more than you're aware of. And so when we're exhorted to let our light shine, the only way I know how to let it shine at all times is, oh God, keep changing me. Keep changing me, Lord, because there's times I'm being watched, I don't know I'm being watched, and the only way I can make sure that aspect of me is good is for you to keep changing me and continually let there be more of you and less of me. Because if it's me that people see, I don't want you to see the me. Because it's the me he came to change. Because I know that in me dwelleth no good thing. But the good that's in me is because of Christ that has come in me. And that's what I want people to see. I was out on a job, and I remember I was getting nervous, and the wrong me was about to come out. And I was trying to reach my boss, and I on the CB radio out in Thousand Oaks. And I, back in those days, in certain areas you couldn't reach them. We didn't have cell phones, and so I couldn't reach him on, and I had to make an important decision. I couldn't reach him, and I was getting nervous and panicky, and so I thought, I'll call him on the phone. So I found a pay phone, and I'm calling, and I'm not proud to say this, but I probably was not demonstrating the Christ nature. I wasn't cussing, but I was probably speaking in a way that the operator wasn't real pleased with. And I said, "Can you help me find so-and-so, so-and-so, and this and that?" And she's trying, and I'm, and I hear this voice that says, "Dennis Chester Connor, would you calm down?" I thought, who in the, oh Lord. It was a girl in our church that I did not know that was working for the operator, and that was her job. She recognized my voice, and I just humbled. Lord, oh God. I said, "Cheryl, I'm sorry." She says, "It's okay, Dennis." But it was a great lesson to me. You're being watched when you don't know you're being watched. people see you when you don't know you're being seen, and when you're talking and you're just carrying on. How many know we need more of Jesus? Let's stand. Mothers, thank you for your influence. I pray that Christ be formed in you, because when he's formed in you, then in those moments when you're not aware, your light will still shine. I'm good at letting my light shine when I know people are watching. How many want your light to shine 24/7? That only happens when I have Jesus in me all the time. And so I set my affections on things above and not on things below. And oh, I let my mind be renewed continually. And I want to keep my relationship continually, because I never know when I may be influencing someone and I don't know it. I'm sure every one of you here can point to a minister that had a great influence upon you. Or you can point to a person that had a great influence upon you. I just want to say that you also are influencing people. Every parent is the pastor of their own home. And so I pray that your influence be good. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace. How I need more of you and less of me. Help me to have old-time religion where I die daily and Christ is formed in me. And help me as I go from here to preach the good news as I'm commanded to do and should do. But Lord, we must spread the gospel. Preach if we must. But let our lives so shine, and so others may see Christ in me. Lord, let Christ be formed in everyone here. I pray your blessings on them. I pray for every mother, every would-be mother. Let Jesus be in their heart. Help them to love Jesus more and more. For out of that relationship will come an influence upon those. Oh, Jesus, we love you. We praise you and we thank you. Bless your people with Christ. And may our influence be for good. In Jesus' name, amen. Happy Mother's Day. And don't forget, you're being watched.